WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden said in a statement Friday he was outraged and deeply pained to see the horrific video of the beating that resulted in Tyre Nichols' death. That statement came after the city of Memphis released video Friday showing police officers beating Nichols following a traffic stop earlier this month. Family attorney Ben Crump told ABC News.
The video was going to remind a lot of people of Rodney King, but as America watched this video, everybody has concluded it's much worse.
He said that's because Rodney King survived. Five officers have been fired and charged with second-degree murder. Nichols' family says more should face criminal charges. There are further signs of potential criminal scrutiny into Congressman George Santos. The Washington Post reports the Justice Department asked the Federal Election Commission to hold off on taking action against the congressman over campaign finance violations. And a day after seven people were killed in a shooting in East Jerusalem, another shooting has left two people hurt. This is ABC News. Former President Trump holds his first campaign events today since he announced a third bid for the White House. He'll speak in New Hampshire and South Carolina. Former Vice President Mike Pence, speaking at Florida International University Friday, said mistakes were made and he takes full responsibility after classified documents were found in his Indiana home.
I've directed my counsel to work with the National Archives, with the Department of Justice, and with the Congress to fully cooperate in any investigation.
This week's mass shooting in Half Moon Bay, California, that left seven farm workers dead, has brought to light the living conditions for farm workers in that area.
Governor Gavin Newsom calls them deplorable living conditions. And now San Mateo County will be red tagging every unit on at least one farm where the shootings took place. San Mateo County Supervisor Ray Mueller inspected the farms this week and says where workers have been living was shocking.
Basically what looked like sheds, storage containers that people were living in, no insulation, no running water.
That's ABC's Alex Stone. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's a constitutional amendment on Wisconsin ballots in April which would give courts more discretion when setting bail for dangerous defendants. The idea is to protect the public, but critics say the cash bail system is unfair and ought to be scrapped. Mike Moen reports.
Marianne Olson with the Wisconsin group Ex-Incarcerated People Organizing says the conversation should be about eliminating cash bail.
A bail system that is based on cash is based on what you can afford. Where is the community safety in that? Where is the justice in that?
Her group believes the practice contributes to Wisconsin leading the U.S. in incarcerating black defendants. She argues cash bail also disproportionately affects women and their families. Currently in Wisconsin, bail is only tied to court appearances. Bill sponsors say judges should base these decisions on more information, including a person's past criminal record, to keep the public safe. But Olson says other approaches, such as ending the cash bail system, also keep public safety in mind.
If an accused came before a judge accused of a violent crime, there would be no cash bail. That person would stay. But a nonviolent offender would be able to be released, continue working, continue being part of their family.
Efforts to eliminate cash bail have surfaced in states like Illinois and California, but those plans have run into various obstacles. Sponsors of the Wisconsin amendment have suggested they'll introduce language to make it clear that only certain types of violent offenses should be applied to a judge's decision-making if the ballot question is approved. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app. Fox Valley regional and state news and commentary for us to find common ground. Civic Media.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can. But it's just as important to take time for yourself. AARP can help. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Morning Cannolis with James Centel is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
And good morning. This is our weekend review, our analysis, our discussion of the most important stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. My name is Jim Santel. I'm with you this hour and next hour as well, as we are every Saturday morning. It is Saturday, January 28th. This is our 32nd broadcast on the stations of Civic Media. We're coming to you from WAUK Radio in downtown Waukesha this morning, right on the side of beautiful Wisconsin Avenue. And this is 540 AM, 101 FM, but we've got listeners throughout the state of Wisconsin by virtue of the Civic Media broadcast stations. Delighted to be with you this morning. Thrilled to have you with me and with my always wonderful, professional, and attentive producer, Calvin. And together this morning, we're going to be taking your phone calls as well, both this hour and next hour here on Morning Cannolis. That number, of course, is 844-967-2789. Once again, 844-967-2789. As always this morning, an ambitious but achievable syllabus, a very aggressive syllabus and agenda this morning. Also, hopefully for you and for all of our listeners, an informative and inspiring couple of hours together. This morning especially, we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about Tyree Nichols and the tragedy that has befallen the United States of America, the people of Memphis, and all of us, once again, talking about the horrific civil rights violation, the murder of a young man in early January, earlier this month in Memphis. Spending a lot of time talking about what happened this past week, what we know, what we don't know. I'm going to talk about why those stories about this particular heinous event are very, very important. What you can do, as we always chat about stories here on this broadcast. And then beyond that, a number of other stories, again, affecting the aspiration for justice in America, law, and government. All of that this morning on Morning Cannolis. Thank you so much once again for joining me and Kelvin in our morning broadcast. As always, we begin with a bit of a review of things that happened this day in history, January 28th. This morning, just two of them. One, of course, in the recollection of many, if not all of you, all of the listeners this morning, was 1986, January 28th, 1986. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after liftoff in Cape Canaveral. All seven crew members killed, including a schoolteacher named Krista McAuliffe. Remember her well. We also remember the other astronauts who died on that day. It was the 10th trip of the Space Shuttle Challenger. Their names: Michael Smith, Dick Scobie, Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, and Judith Resnick. All lost their lives in service to America and service to things beyond themselves, beyond all of us. Science, the importance of discovery, mourning still to this day their losses, the significant setback, of course, in the space program, that happening in 1986, on this day. The other important story also happening on this day, January 28th, on this day in history, since that time, 1997, a story that reverberates again today in America. This one, however, taking place in South Africa, the nation of South Africa on the African continent. Four police officers, four law enforcement, appeared on this day, 1997, January 28th, before the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which was this governmental attempt to wrestle with the horrors of apartheid in South Africa, to try to deal with the dangers, the horrors of that particular policy in place for many, many generations there, to try to figure out what to do as you go forward. And during the course of that commission hearing on this day, in January 28th, 1977, four of those police officers admitted to the 1977 killing that year of a gentleman named Stephen Biko. Stephen Biko, again, a lion icon in world history. He was a leader of something called the South African Black Consciousness Movement, a major civil rights movement in that nation to address apartheid, to attempt to provide equal access for members of the black population as the white population had had for many, many generations. He produced a number of articles under the heading Frank Talk. He was a key figure in the end in bringing an end to apartheid in South Africa, 1960s, 1970s as well. And again, killed in the 1970s, four police officers admitting to the killing of that. He died from extensive brain injuries from beatings by those South African security forces. And, of course, even long before that, he was this major figure in South Africa. He previously had put together something called the South African Students Association, recognizing early on in his life that apartheid had to fall, that it had to move on if the nation was to be true to the human spirit and the human condition to which we all aspire. His funeral, 20,000 South Africans and others attended Stephen Biko's funeral. Again, a significant day in 1997, January 28th, because it was the acknowledgement that he had been the martyr, been killed by security officers there, further cementing his place in history as this major figure, not only for South Africa, but for all of us, and also underscoring the importance of not only the work that law enforcement does to do to ensure that we are safe and secure, but inside that broad commission, the tremendous importance that all law enforcement has to serve consistent with basic tenets of humanity, the things that we say in this country about the Constitution to ensure life, liberty, and the pursuit of justice. And yes, indeed, it is that story coming back from Stephen Biko, 1977 and before, that now reverberates again here in America, in a story that has broken this past week and continues to command and will command this week and the weeks and months ahead, years ahead, the history of civil rights in America. Let's talk about that issue. And again, this morning, as always, taking your phone calls, Calvin and I, 844-967-2789 here on Civic Media. This past Thursday, 2 days ago, five Memphis police officers charged with what? Second-degree murder. State charges for the death of Tyree Nichols. He was a 29-year-old black man. They conducted a traffic stop, and it escalated into what I think everyone this morning is describing as a display of staggering brutality. It happened on January 7th, and three days later, Tyree Nichols died in the hospital. Everyone, of course, knowing right away that something horrific had happened here, the city bracing for this past week for what happened last night. That is the release of the video footage, which we're also going to chat about this morning, that depicts this in agonizing detail, how this stop earlier this month for suspicion of reckless driving ended up in the death, the loss of life, the civil rights violation of Tyree Nichols, arguably by the entire community, by all of us, at the hands of these five police officers. Thursday, a grand jury, the charging body in Tennessee, returned indictments against these five officers. It is important to know their names. Their names are Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, Emmett Martin III, Desmond Mills Jr., and Justin Smith, five officers of the Memphis Police Force. The charges include kidnapping, official misconduct, official oppression, in addition, as I indicated, to second-degree murder. All of those officers fired last week. Fired last week upon the further exploration, the further investigation of what happened. This horrific death of Tyre Nichols earlier this month. The city did promise all along to release the video of these events. And indeed, they did that just last night. And we're going to talk about that. The charges, these charges, including second-degree murder, growing out of this very fast-moving, appropriately fast-moving investigation, the reveal that these five officers who were part of a specialized unit developed to patrol high-crime areas in the city. It's called the Scorpion Unit. It's an acronym that talks about the reason for addressing specific high-crime areas. They used a level of force, undeniably, already in that video, even though, again, we presume them innocent until proven guilty. Any viewing of that video makes clear that this particular level of force was beyond excessive, certainly not the kind of force, not the kind of reaction that we expect from our sworn law enforcement officers in this nation to engage in when it comes to relationships and, yes, contacts with citizens, residents of our cities. As I'm going to indicate further, highly likely and pretty much confirmed by the United States Department of Justice that in addition to these state charges under state law there in Memphis, in Tennessee, in addition to that, a separate federal civil rights investigation certainly also underway. Again, as we've talked before on this broadcast, entirely significant, entirely important for there to be both state and federal interests vindicated by virtue of the kinds of investigations that can, in fact, take place, and the prosecution, if appropriate, if there is, again, the charging level probable cause upon conviction beyond a reasonable doubt for the offense conduct. Look forward to anticipate that the United States Department of Justice, in addition to the state charges returned just a couple of days ago, will soon also convene a grand jury to determine whether or not there was a violation of Tyre Nichols' federal constitutional rights, a deprivation of his rights under a statute called 1983, 42 U.S.C., United States Code Section 1983, that makes it a crime to violate, also civil remedies as well, violations of basic criminal rights, constitutional rights under the laws of our nation. Again, can be both civil prosecution, criminal prosecution by the United States Department of Justice. That investigation also certainly underway by the United States Department of Justice. Memphis, a city of about 630,000 people, of course, reeling from what just happened, what was revealed as happening earlier this month, and plenty of protests around the country, appropriate protests. Very significantly, as we have seen in so many other of these horrific situations, these terrible situations that challenge who we are, what our relationship with the police is and should be, that challenge us to do better, to make certain that Tyre Nichols, that his legacy, his death, as horrific as it is not in vain, that we learn from this, that somehow we put together plans, programs, initiatives, which we're also going to talk about in just a few moments, to try to ensure to the extent we can that this does not happen again. And yes, that's right. We say that repeatedly. Every single time that we have a Tyre Nichols who loses his life under these kinds of circumstances, we talk about the families, we talk about the communities, and try to ensure that this doesn't happen again, and yet it does. So this morning, again, in addition to telling you more about what we know and what we don't know about the death of Tyre Nichols earlier this month, we're going to talk about what things that you can do to remedy this problem in America. Stay with us as we talk more about Tyre Nichols and the significant civil rights event in Memphis, Tennessee.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
But you're looking for real one.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
My early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But it gave my mom and me more time to plan together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance of snow this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High of 17, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, lows dip down to around 13, cloudy skies. A few flurries possible at times again tomorrow. Highs around 17, partly cloudy. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 13.
Keeping the Fox Valley connected, informed, and entertained. This is Civic Media.
We are back here at Morning Cannolis. Thank you once again for spending some time with me and my producer, Calvin, here. We're in the studios of WAUK Radio in downtown Waukesha. As always, taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. It is a somber morning in America. As we ponder, we think about, we digest the horrific news coming out of Memphis, Tennessee, the untimely, terrible death at the hands of five police officers of Tyree Nichols, this 29-year-old black man. We're going to talk more about him, what happened to him during the course of his encounter on January 7th with those five members of the Tennessee police force. They took him down, again, took turns punching, kicking him as he pleaded for them to stop. According to this video footage that was, in fact, finally released yesterday, the family, taking a look at that video footage before it was publicly released, expressing what all of us would express when viewing this. It is a choice that all of you need to make about whether or not you view this video or not. It is accessible in mainstream media. It's accessible online now as well. I would offer to you that to the extent that you are not already wildly, profoundly concerned about what happened again in America this month, you view that video. It is graphic. It is terrible to watch. Don't be surprised if indeed you recoil in abject horror. Many people are doing just that. Because of the seriousness of this, I'm going to describe a little bit about what we know based upon actually four videos that have been released about this encounter. As I said, they're grim, they're difficult to watch, but what they show is incredibly important. It is important not only going to be a part, certainly, of the prosecution, the criminal prosecution of these officers for the murder and likely the civil rights violation by the Department of Justice, again, of the constitutional rights of Tyree Nichols as well. The confrontation, according to these videos and some other accounts, happened while Mr. Nichols was still in his car, based on this surveillance camera and police videos worn by the police officers themselves. Almost immediately, according to this video, the officers yelled at Nichols to get out of the vehicle using expletives. And you will hear those if they are not bleeped out in the version that you hear. They forcefully pulled Nichols out and held him down. This, again, the first encounter upon suspicion of reckless driving. All right. Reckless driving was the basis upon which they conducted this traffic stop. It appears from those videos, again, encouraging you to the extent you feel comfortable in doing so to watch that video. It appears that Nichols cooperated. He told the officers, "I'm just trying to go home. I'm just trying to go home," he said. Showed no signs of resistance. The officers continued to yell at him and threaten him. And as he lay on the ground, had pulled him out of his car, officers pepper sprayed him in that first encounter. Because of that first encounter, you will see that in the immediate aftermath of that first encounter, Tyree Nichols fled on his feet, fleeing from them. Plainly an attempt by someone who had been stopped by police officers, trying to save his own life, recognizing that even though he was the calm one in this first encounter and the second encounter as well, the officers themselves were not in that same behavioral category. He flees. He flees from his car, running away, and you see that in the first video. The officers pursued him. One of them, who remained behind, is heard on the video to say, "I hope they stomp his," and then an expletive comes. So they plainly had this sense, for reasons that are not yet clear, that they wanted to not only stop him, if there is legitimacy at all to this notion that they were stopping him for reckless driving, but there was more than this. They were doing something beyond just regular routine law enforcement. And again, the force that you see, even in that first video, is beyond what you would anticipate, certainly beyond what law enforcement officers are taught routinely. I'm going to talk with you more about my own engagement with law enforcement officers when I was an assistant U.S. attorney, a U.S. attorney, and then more recently called upon by the Milwaukee County Sheriff to talk about our emerging, our graduating law enforcement officers, about the kind of force that is appropriate, the kind of force that is not appropriate under these circumstances. After Tyree Nichols fled the scene, the officers caught up with him. And again, there is some gap in some of these videos. They held him down as they punched and they kicked him. It is clear that at least one of the officers comes upon the scene. They beat him with a baton, pepper sprayed him again, and he grew, of course, increasingly incapacitated. This is a beating unmistakably of the highest order. It does not appear that Tyree Nichols was fighting back or resisting. He yelled for his mother. He yelled for his mother at least one point during the course of the second encounter as he's on the ground. He is propped up. He is propped up by the officers, and it appears that they continue to beat him. And as he is propped up against a police car, officers surround him, and the beating continues. Medics arrive on the scene ultimately. They did not attend to Tyree Nichols for about 16 minutes after this terrible beating, taken to the hospital nearly an hour after that initial traffic stop. And again, as all of the reporting is confirming, that January 7th traffic stop and this terrible, unconstitutional beating by police officers responding without due cause, without a basis in a law enforcement system, results in the death of Tyree Nichols, 29 years old, in Memphis, Tennessee. That's what we know so far. And again, it's always difficult, as we have spoken before on this and other broadcasts of civil media, to derive complete understandings of what happened on that night. But these sets of videos do give you an awfully good sense of what happened. We may not have all the context. There will be more coming out in the days, the weeks, the months ahead. If these officers go to trial on the state charges, likely the federal charges as well, these videos will certainly loom large, as will the testimony of others who may have seen some of this, may know more about it. We know that there are initial couple of officers who were also fired after they were relieved of their duty, also pending an investigation of their involvement. There were two other sheriff's deputies who were on the scene. We're not quite certain what the predicates for all of that are, but plainly people probably on the scene who saw some of this, who failed to intervene, who failed to address this horrific problem. When we come back, more discussion about Tyree Nichols' tragedy in America, a related issue coming out of Minneapolis the week before this one, and then again, as I promised, what you can do, what we can do in America to begin, as we have tried before, to address these horrific problems. Stay with us as we talk about all of that and more here on Morning Cannolis.
From Green Bay to Oshkosh and Point South, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Biden said in a statement Friday he was outraged and deeply pained to see the horrific video of the beating that resulted in Tyree Nichols' death. That statement came after the city of Memphis released video Friday showing police officers beating Nichols following a traffic stop earlier this month. Family attorney Ben Crump told ABC News,
"The video was going to remind a lot of people of Rodney King, but as America watched this video, everybody has concluded it's much worse.
He said that's because Rodney King survived. Five officers have been fired and charged with second-degree murder. Nichols' family says more should face criminal charges. There are further signs of potential criminal scrutiny into Congressman George Santos. The Washington Post reports the Justice Department asked the Federal Election Commission to hold off on taking action against the congressman over campaign finance violations. And a day after seven people were killed in a shooting in East Jerusalem, another shooting has left two people hurt. This is ABC News.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media, too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. on WISS 1100 AM 98.3 FM Oshkosh Air Support.
What grows in the forest? Trees? Sure. Know what else grows in the forest? Our imagination, our sense of wonder, and our family bonds grow too. Because when we disconnect from this and connect with this, we reconnect with each other and build family memories we will carry with us forever. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. It's easy. Just put in your zip code to find family-friendly outdoor destinations near you. You'll also find guides to free activities, games, and amazing forest facts. Give the magic of the outdoors to your kids and reconnect with your family. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Phones? Social media? You've kept up with the times. If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in just 3 minutes, you'll get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org.
We are back here in Morning Cannolis. It is a solemn morning here on this broadcast. More importantly, it is a solemn morning for everyone in America. We are talking, as is America, about a young man named Tyre Nichols, 29 years old, Memphis, Tennessee, who died at the hands of five Memphis police officers early this month in what is unmistakably, even though once again we acknowledge as they're charged, they are not presumed guilty until proven such during the course of a trial, but unmistakably responsible for the heinous, horrific murder of Tyre Nichols on January 7th. Likely federal charges coming as well, alleging under federal law, under the Constitution of the United States of America, that Mr. Nichols' basic rights to life, to liberty, and yes, the pursuit of happiness as well, cut short, 29 years old, cut short by the actions of these officers. You heard in the news feed that came in right between our last segment and this one that President Biden reacted to this, as did others. He said that Mr. Nichols' family deserved a swift, full, and transparent investigation into this death. Well, it certainly is proceeding swiftly, which has not always been the case. in connection with other police violence that has taken the lives of our citizens. President Biden added that that violence has no place in peaceful protests. Also acknowledged that police killings appropriately that police killings disparately impact Black communities. Undeniably important. The family also encouraging the community of Memphis, the communities throughout the state of Tennessee, communities in all places in America, as you heard, New York, other places, right here in Wisconsin, to respond to this, to understand what happened, to try to get our heads collectively around this heinous event, and then to move on, not beyond the story, but to move on to ensure that we remedy this in some way, and that we do those things that are within our power to ensure that we do not have more victims like Tyre Nichols in our future. The week before last, we had a recollection of yet another event that populated and horrified the history of America. That, of course, the murder in Minneapolis of George Floyd back in 2021. 2021. He was actually, of course, the victim of violence by a number of police officers there in Minneapolis. You know the story well. Just last week, the principal defendant in those cases, an officer named Derek Chauvin, was back in the Court of Appeals contesting the conviction that he suffered for the second-degree unintentional murder, the third-degree murder, and the second-degree manslaughter in April 2021. He was sentenced to 22 and a half years that June, again, for the violence that happened a year earlier in 2020. Significantly, Chauvin also pled guilty in a federal criminal civil rights case for violating George Floyd's right. He received there a 21-year sentence concurrent with the state sentence. He waived in that federal case his right to appeal. But in the state case, which is the subject of the appellate proceedings in Minneapolis, Chauvin back in court through his attorney the week before this past one, arguing basically two things: that Mr. Chauvin could not get a fair trial consistent with the constitutional requirements in a courthouse in Minneapolis. Also alleged that there was some juror misconduct. And again, the subject of a lot of disagreement, a lot of argument before the Court of Appeals the week before this one. The representatives of the state who were supporting the conviction, the sentence imposed upon Mr. Chauvin, dismissed, not without argument, but dismissed as almost frivolous, the arguments made by counsel for the defense. Indeed, the argument made that the presentation of this evidence compelling, clear, and that Mr. Chauvin did indeed get a fair trial, notwithstanding all of the publicity and all the surrounding attention, not just in Minneapolis, but obviously throughout our nation, across the face of the planet as well. Even so, we can, and I believe that we did in fact provide to Mr. Chauvin and to the others a forum in which they can get a fair trial. Not entitled to a perfect trial in America. You're entitled to a just trial, and that is what he received. Even this issue related to juror past behavior, not something that should modify in any way the conviction. Why do I raise that? Well, once again, it's in the recent history. It's back, the story of George Floyd, back in our news, back in our public attention. And it once again has reverberations into what we can likely anticipate in the coming prosecution, the state prosecution, likely the federal prosecution as well, of these five officers in Memphis, Tennessee, as the weeks and the months go forward. We know as well that not only the authorities there in Tennessee, the police chief, has indicated, too, that there was no indication from the start that there was a sense of reckless driving. She's already doubting the predicate, the premise for the stop in the first place, which would also be the source of an awful lot of testimony in a state and certainly a federal trial as well. The governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, sent a statement that cruel criminal abuse of power will not be tolerated in our state. Police department needs to take a hard look at the misconduct and failure that occurred within a unit. And that unit, again, is called the Scorpion Unit, this unit that was designed, not just ironically, but now horrifically as we look back, a unit designed to prevent exactly the kind of violence that indeed these five officers perpetrated earlier this month. Almost certainly reviewing the continued existence of that unit, the police chief there ordering a review of that, condemning already the actions of these five, dismissing them. They are no longer police officers. Others, two other deputy sheriffs, also placed on leave, dismissed basically from their day-to-day operation, plainly for some involvement as well. Would not be surprised at all if there are others who are some way involved in this matter that likewise are the subject of investigation as this goes forward, an investigation that necessarily has to happen not only to support the prosecutions now underway federally and civilly, but to ensure that Americans, as we always talk here on this program, have a sense of what happened and can identify those events, can get their hands, their minds around them, as terrible and as stunning, as shocking as they are, to try to figure out what you do next. The president, in his comments about this, which you heard on the news feed, and also I recited just a few moments ago, likewise called upon all Americans, and the Congress in particular, to do something. And so to answer the question, not only why is this story so hugely important, why is it important? It makes us understand our relationship, admittedly a challenged relationship when these things happen with law enforcement, but should also prompt us to ask the question, what do I do? I can be horrified. I can watch this video and I can talk to my friends. I can write about it. I can express on social media my outrage about it. But what can I do to accomplish some real change in America? What things are not being done right now? Well, there is a significant thing that the president already commented about, and I'm going to add one to that that you can also do in terms of supporting academic education, training, support for upcoming law enforcement officers of all kinds, local, state, and federal. It's all about training. It is consistent training, education, to make them understand what their obligations are and that first and foremost, they are servants to our community. Before getting to that important piece of what you can do to support this initiative, these all-important initiatives, in the name of people like Tyre Nichols, in the name of people like George Floyd and so many others out there, the president talked about a police reform bill named in the honor and the memory of George Floyd that was passed by the House of Representatives a couple of years ago and stalled in the Senate during his first year in office. Let's talk about what that is. 2020, almost 3 years ago now, in the United States, Congress, in both the Senate and significantly in the House of Representatives, introduced by Representative Karen Bass, who is now the recently elected mayor of Los Angeles. Karen Bass, at the time representing a district in California, represents with huge numbers of co-sponsors, a bill, H.R. 7120. It's called the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act of 2020. You may remember what happened to this. Hearings about it in the House Judiciary Committee, the Armed Services Committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee. It is also the subject of Senate review. Readings in the Senate. We'll get back to what doesn't happen there. But the House eventually passes it in June of 2020. Before we get to what happens when it goes over to the other chamber in the United States Congress, let's talk about what this bill would have required. Certainly going to be reintroduced in this 118th Congress. And again, the composition changed since 2020. We will see if there are significant numbers of House members today who will not only sign on to sponsor this long existing, basically fundamentally important piece of legislation that did not make it to the president's desk during the course of his first year in office. What does that George Floyd Justice in Policing Act of 2020 say? Well, it addresses a wide variety of policies and issues that relate to policing practices and law enforcement accountability. Once again, this notion that law enforcement officers responsible to the people they serve, every single law enforcement officer in our nation, local, state, county, federal, every single law enforcement officer raises her or his hand and takes an oath to serve what? The people of the jurisdictions and to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. It is appropriate then to hold them accountable for their behavior. Yes, their honorable behavior. And again, I, having spent most of my career in law enforcement, believe and recognize strongly that the great majority of law enforcement officers do follow and are allegiant to that oath that they take, and we benefit from that. But situations like this are not to be overlooked, are not to be brushed under the rug because of that otherwise large population that is understanding its oath well. This particular George Floyd Justice and Policing Act law also increases this law enforcement accountability for misconduct. It restricts the use of certain policing practices. I'll tell you about those in just a moment. It enhances transparency in what happens when it comes to these kinds of situations. We're already getting it out of Memphis. We'll see if that continues. Very transparent from the police chief, from the mayor there, providing already the videos that you can watch, as terrible as they are. Promotes data collection about these kinds of things happening all around the United States of America. And yes, establishes some best practices. What should law enforcement officers do? And as I've already hinted, strongly support training requirements, sometimes uniform, sometimes related to the particular jurisdiction, these particular things that need to be trained in a particular area based upon the makeup of the demographics in the area, even the geography, metropolitan areas, rural areas. Training is not one size fits all, but there are some fundamental basic concepts that need to be trained, not only academically with books and studying and lectures from people like me and others, but also to ensure that there is a practical understanding of how that book learning comes into play when officers are protecting and defending our communities. Let's talk a little bit more about specifically an important change that the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act law legislation would have accomplished and perhaps will still accomplish, perhaps even now with the additional information and reporting on this terrific and horrific event involving Tyre Nichols earlier this month. One of the challenges of doing these cases that I confronted routinely as an assistant U.S. attorney, as a supervisor, and then certainly as for about 6.5 years as the United States attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, without providing here a law class on the fundamental trappings of the federal civil rights and the criminal statutes under which prosecutions can happen in federal court, one of the concerns is the level of intent that must be shown to establish a case beyond a reasonable doubt against police officers. And the law, to be a bit more general than it really is, provides that in order to prove a case, I have to show as a prosecutor, federal prosecutors who continue to work in this area need to show a willful violation. And that is sometimes, not always, but that is sometimes that high standard of proof, and you've heard this in the media, that is sometimes a difficult thing to show. Again, things that you and I might view in videos and in other statements to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, that is sometimes a difficult thing to show. This new law would lower the criminal intent standard from willful to knowing or reckless to convict a law enforcement officer of misconduct in a federal prosecution of the sort that's probably coming in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. Stay with us as we talk more about the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act and what you can do to promote that law and good training of law enforcement officers in America.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3, it's Dueling Tangents.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
You let him try violin because you love him.
And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies this afternoon with snow showers likely. Daytime highs approaching 17. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight 13. Cloudy skies expected. Chance of flurries tomorrow 17. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now 13.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter. KRadio.com.
We are continuing this morning our somber but our hugely important discussion about the murder on the streets of Memphis, Tennessee. Tyree Nichols, a 29-year-old black man, is a victim at the hands of these five police officers charged with kidnapping, official misconduct, in addition to second-degree murder. All of that happening with a grand jury indictment just this past week, likely federal charges to follow as well. As America reels and America tries to get its head once again around this latest instance of horrific, terrible violence at the hands of police officers. Right before the break, we were talking about things that you can do, which I am leading up to as we talk about this George Floyd Justice in Policing Act of 2020 that did in fact pass the United States House of Representatives in the prior Congress and stalled in the United States Senate. And so as you can anticipate, my advocacy to you this morning is going to be to move that legislation as it's reintroduced forward. Again, on behalf not only of those who have died, the George Floyds, the Tyree Nichols, many others out there, but also on behalf of all of us. Right before the break, we were talking about what this new legislation would do. In addition to changing this criminal law enforcement standard and federal criminal prosecutions from willful to knowing or reckless, which lowers the standard, makes it easier for prosecutors to prosecute these kinds of cases, this law would also grant administrative subpoena power to the Department of Justice in pattern or practice investigations. That's a mouthful. That's a lot of language there, right? What does that mean? Well, in addition to criminal prosecutions that will, in fact, certainly go forward here and have gone forward, as we've seen this morning in the George Floyd prosecution, Derek Chauvin, other officers there, you can also pursue, the Department of Justice on your behalf can also pursue civil matters and attempt to remedy, to address the larger sort of systemic issues that may have prompted this kind of thing. And don't be surprised if the Department of Justice does, in fact, again, focus on Memphis to determine whether or not what happened to Tyree Nichols was a part of a larger pattern or practice of conduct. The police chief, obviously horrified by this as well, and presumably, if called upon to investigate and pursue this as a pattern or practice investigation, again, it's not a criminal matter, but it's a civil remedial way of addressing the problem, would cooperate in that. But this new legislation would grant subpoena power to the Department of Justice, again, not in a criminal matter where it already exists, but in this civil attempt to try to understand what happened and try to understand and implement ways in which we can ensure that that doesn't happen again. Right here in Milwaukee, when I was the U.S. attorney, we invited in the Department of Justice to do something kind of a variation on this called collaborative review, where the police agency itself, in this case the Milwaukee Police Department, does in fact cooperate with the Department of Justice in addressing some continuing concerns and things said by the served community about ways in which the community can be served better. That's another variation on this. All kinds of things can be done under this broad umbrella on the civil, investigative, and remedial side of the Department of Justice. Beyond those things, the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act establishes a framework to prevent and remedy racial profiling by law enforcement at the federal and, yes, also the state and the local levels. It limits unnecessary use of force, how relevant this morning, and restricts the use of things like chokeholds and carotid holds, all those kinds of things that we have seen in other situations, right? It creates a national registry called the National Police Misconduct Registry. And what would that do? That would compile data on complaints of this sort and plainly of others records of police misconduct. It would also significantly, as a part of that, understanding the history and the currency of this problem, would establish new reporting requirements, including reporting requirements specifically on these kinds of things, use of force, officer misconduct, routine policing practices like stops and searches, all those kinds of things, a national police misconduct registry. And finally, this new legislation would also direct the Department of Justice to create uniform accreditation standards for law enforcement agencies around the country to complete training on racial profiling, implicit bias, and the duty to intervene when another officer uses excessive force. We have seen that in so many other instances. It may also be the case here in Tyre Nichols as this plays out. And that final component of this legislation, again, not passed by the former Congress, needs now to be reinitiated, brought again in the House, brought again in the Senate. And this is where all of you can come into play. As this legislation is presented, reintroduced, write to your congresswomen and congressmen, write to your elected representatives in the United States Senate. President himself does not have to be convinced about this. He will sign this legislation in whatever form it takes if it's brought to his desk. And this is one thing that, in addition to having the outrage that you certainly have this morning, this is one thing you can, in fact, do. Get your pens out. Get your pieces of paper out. And send letters to your representatives. Send emails. When they show up for these local meetings, these town hall meetings, show up and demand some action from them. Demand your representatives. This should be an apolitical, nonpartisan issue. Call upon them to do the right thing. This should be one of those situations where you get unanimity in the members of the House and the Senate. This legislation should pass this coming week. Whenever it is introduced, should get a fast track in all the committees, judiciary and others on the House. Same sort of thing in the Senate. This should be brought to the president's desk immediately. It is already too late for people like George Floyd, for people like Tyre Nichols and many others in our nation. But it's one thing that we can do to begin to address these problems realistically. Our representatives need to come to the plate and take a swing at all of these important initiatives. And you can be a part of that by telling them that you want this to happen. That's number one. Number two is just about education, right? The law, as it is proposed, as it's been proposed in the past, contemplates more training. I was so very proud during the time that I was an assistant U.S. attorney, and then most recently invited by the recently departed, wonderfully accomplished sheriff of Milwaukee County to do some training of our incoming deputy sheriffs. And we spent weeks and months, candidly, talking not only academically about what the Constitution means, about what kinds of excessive force, what that means in terms of definition, what kinds of force can be used, what kinds of force cannot be used in appropriate circumstances as these officers, deputy sheriffs, and others are serving in America. Training academically, yes, that's right. Having prosecutors and investigators come in and help our law enforcement officers, new and continuing training, understand what our Constitution means in the 21st century, and then also ensuring that there is a practical understanding out there as they graduate, as they have that continuing training to ensure that those lessons remain with them. What can you do? You can write to your local law enforcement and demand that kind of training, wherever it is, under what kind of auspices it's done, it should continue. It has to have this basic fundamental focus on law enforcement done on behalf of service to America. That, too, you can do in response to the horrific death of Tyre Nichols. We're going to talk about other important stories in America, even as we continue to think about Memphis, Tennessee, as we think about the United States of America and the role of the Constitution in ensuring the safety and security of all of us. Stay with us for our second hour.
They say they'll get your biggest tax refund. Jackson Hewitt says your biggest tax refund guaranteed, and a chance to double your tax refund. Thousands in weekly prizes during the Double Your Refund sweepstakes. Your biggest refund times two, twice the money. So forget about them. File your taxes on the double at Jackson Hewitt today.
No purchase necessary to enter or win. Open to U.S. residents 18 or older who file a 2022 federal tax return. Promotion ends 4/2/23. Visit JacksonHewitt.com for rules.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.